Well, good morning, Rock Point Church. So glad to be with you here in person. For those of you joining us online, so glad you are all joining us here for this Sunday morning. If you were with us last week, you know that we kicked off a new sermon series titled Misquoted. And it's trying to find these scriptures that are throughout the Bible that we kind of take and we make them our mantra, we make them our own, we make them something that is completely out of the context of what the Bible meant for them to be. And so if you weren't with us last week, we kicked that off. But today we're going to be looking at another verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I don't know how many of y'all, yes, I've got a few of these going on. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You know, a lot of times we take that verse, but we don't sit there and say, like, why was this said? When was it said? Where was it said? Who said this verse? What was it for? What was the context completely going on for this verse to even have been said? Well, as we read today in the scriptures and see what Paul was saying when he said this verse here, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Father, guide and direct us. Make us bold for you. Make the scriptures come alive. Lord, may we live for you better today than we were yesterday. Lord, guide and direct our time of worship still in this moment. It's in your name that I give praise. Amen. So this verse, it's often used as the motivational tool, the mantra, the rally cry, the through the tough times, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And all of a sudden, like magic, everything's better. You just have to say the verse. Or like the old TV shows of Bewitched or something, wiggle the nose, blink the eyes, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, if you just say this verse, it happens. But what we don't know is when Paul said this. What we don't know is why Paul said this, and we don't know where he was and what was going on. You see, we actually take this passage and we make it something else. We make it just this thing that we say, and then we sit there expectantly saying, like, right now it's going to happen. Right now, because I said it, it's going to happen. You understand there's a lot of I in that. If you're not noticing. And if you as a Christian, a follower of Christ, understand that it's God who has made everything, who is in control of everything, who has destined everything. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. That is a mouthful that you probably do not hear on a daily basis. Some of you may understand it as Lou Gehrig disease. ALS. Is what it's mostly known as. You know, this was a brutal illness, disease, that it affects the brain and you lose muscle control and you start getting atrophy. It's where you can't move. And it's cruel and ironic that this history of this crippling disease that strikes a person struck Lou Gehrig. You see, Lou Gehrig was a hard-working baseball player for the New York Yankees. I mean, he had a work ethic that was solid that nobody really until 1995 that Cal Ripken broke his active streaks of playing consecutive games every day, day in and day out. Matter of fact, they called Lou Gehrig the Iron Horse. But in 1995, Cal Ripken broke his record with 2,130 consecutive games. 2,130. So 2,129, Lou Gehrig, every single day, showed up, worked hard, never stopped. And see, this disease, this illness, this sickness got a hold of him. But what's startling, what's most memorable about this is Lou Gehrig's farewell address. As he retired from the Yankees prematurely due to ALS, he said this. He said in a packed house in front of all these fans, that he played from 1923 to 1939. He said, fans, for the past 2 weeks, you have been reading about the bad break I got. Yet today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. ALS. He finds himself the luckiest man on earth. Those words seem so foreign and unthinkable as we live our lives today, expecting life to be given to us on a silver platter, right? Society is like, you deserve it, you should have it, it should be yours. And so we kind of go through this life and in this expectant way, saying, that should be mine. I should have this. And then we go, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. It's not happening. What's going on? Oh. Then we try harder. And we think, well, if we yell it, well, if we say it in a different way. We see we have these expectant things. And I suppose if we look back over the past year and a half, though it wouldn't be like Lou Gehrig's disease, but we can sit there and say, man, COVID has hit so many of us, so many families, so many individuals. The welfare of our world, the chaos amongst political climates. Poor me. Why me? I deserve better than this. So whether you're stricken with other illnesses and whether life has just been going well for you, today we want to dive into verses 10 through 13 to really capture and understand what Paul is saying, where he's saying it from, and why. But the first thing we need to understand is contentment is not found in your own strength. Contentment's not found in your own strength. How can someone be content with the world seems to be crumbling around them? You know, so many of us, we put on this stoic face. Right? Like we walk through, like life doesn't bother me. Look at me. I can hold this through everything. Nothing bothers me. You wouldn't understand anything that's going on in my life. But see, the days and the years that go on, the hours, the minutes that go on with this, we're doing something different. We're losing contact with community. We're losing understanding of how God can sustain us and bring us joy. And we start losing what it means to be happy in moments of those joyful moments. See, we've gotten so stern-faced and so stoic, we don't even understand what happiness is anymore. We don't even understand when God gives us something to be thankful and say, Lord, thank you for this. Because it's not on your strength, God, anymore. It's on mine. And I can do all things because I'm me. We forget who went to the cross and saved us, who shed blood, who died a brutal death, saying, because I love you. You'll also be robbing yourself of enjoying the company of some people as you walk around looking to say, oh, poor them. I take pity on them. Look at me, I hold myself here, pitiful person. Glad I'm not in their shoes. When in the circumstance that you're probably missing a beautiful, great relationship with an individual that is so unique that God has created, but you've become this judge, and we learned about that last week, condemning, pitiful them. And you miss out on this beautiful, great relationship that in this creation that God has made. You see, contentment can't be found in a perfect life either. As we start putting ourselves on this stature, it can't be found in this perfect life. Paul describes the true meaning of finding contentment. It's the fullness of what he's teaching us becomes apparent when we know the conditions in which Paul writes. Remember last week, we talked about context is very important. Context is key. Philippians is one of those that Paul wrote in prison. He was captive. A beautiful, dingy, musty, nasty, captive. You know, he didn't have good lighting. He couldn't adjust this. He couldn't have his coffee and water sitting there with a fine instrument to write with. He's imprisoned. Matter of fact, Paul, if you read enough and dive into it, spends a quarter of his missionary career in prison, writing letters, spreading the gospel, working, allowing God to move through him, helping churches, helping individuals, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes if we'd really look at the context and look what Paul was going through, we're not going through that at all. Our lives may look like the JW Marriott, maybe. You know, sometimes we sit there and say, I've got this, everything's going on, everything's going well, and yet Paul, knowing that no matter what, was going to preach and bring the gospel to Christ. He proclaims the love of God in Christ. He's surrounded by those who are longing for death because of his conditions. They're wanting him to die. They don't want this. And then he writes this beautiful statement here in Philippians 4, 10 through 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. He's letting the people in Philippi know that, hey, I'm good. I'm doing well. I may be in prison, but I'm okay. Don't be concerned for me. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. See, Paul wrote this letter from prison. Do you grab hold of the context now? Do you understand the situation? Are you really starting to see how powerful this verse can be for your life? He wrote this from prison, but he wouldn't stop. It's like if we've got social media now, and Paul's in prison writing this, and he probably takes a little selfie, hashtag content. Right? I mean, that's what we do. I can just see Paul, like, man, this lighting. Content. He's content. Content. You need to grab hold of this word and understand how he was preaching the gospel in 1 Corinthians 9, 16 through 17. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast. Since I am compelled to preach, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. Paul understood that he could not be content on his own. Colossians 3, 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God and Father through him. Contentment. Content in life, content where you are. Not saying that as you become a Christian, the road's just going to be beautifully lined with roses and it's golden and it's awesome. When those bumps come, when sickness comes, when death comes, when brokenness comes, how are you finding contentment? Is it turning to social media, putting a blast out? Is it turning to every other thing besides this beautiful living document that we have? God's word is enough so that we can be fully and really content in life where we are. You see, Paul knows this and he understands that contentment is complete dependency on Christ. Complete dependency on Christ. I can do all these things through him who gives me strength. That's a beautiful theological addition to tying in what he's saying in verses 11 through 12. I can do all these things. We must understand the context of work in the gospel, the endurance of suffering. Paul is not simply saying anything is possible with Christ. As I told you from the beginning, it's not a magic verse you can bring out, and then everything just turns to roses. It's an understanding that no matter where I am, no matter what's going on in life, no matter what's happening, that I can fully and completely believe in the love and the security and the grace and the everything that I need in Christ. Period. Not, I need to go to Starbucks 3 times today. That's going to do it. That's contentment. That's not contentment, just in case. I don't know. Some faces were like, 3 times in a day. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We can understand in every situation, no matter what, that Christ can make you content. No matter what's going on in life. You see, a lot of times we sit there and we get in this spot where we think we can do it. I'm a strong, really awesome Christian now. Look how many bracelets and t-shirts I wear. Look what I can handle. That storm's not big enough for me. It's not bad enough. I can handle it. Look at me stand strong in it. As it comes whipping through and tearing us down. I'm better. Look at them. That Christian's not better than I am. I'm doing good. Because I said this verse 3 times today. I haven't seen anything happen yet, but you probably haven't said it once. You see, all this stuff we think we're content. All this stuff's really just getting us confused as to what the Bible tells us. You see, because there's going to come a moment when it's hard enough, it's strong enough, it's deep enough, it's bad enough that the world's going to veer you off to the left and you're going to hit a wall that you're going to go, I have no idea what happened. Folks, can I tell you how important it is daily, hourly, to spend time in God's Word? I don't think I have to tell you, and we joke about this a lot, to jump on social media or even turn the news on to see how bad the world is out there. You know what? Why don't you open up and see how good the world could be if we stay diligent as Christians, diving into God's Word, carrying it, carrying the whole gospel, so that when we go out there and talk to others who don't know yet, who haven't realized that there's this saving grace, that all they have to do is freely accept who He is, their Savior. To be bold enough to take that transformational hope, right? That's what we're here for at Rock Point. Helping all kinds of people meet, know, and follow Jesus Christ. But listen, we have to boldly go out there. And the only way we do that is if we're content in our life where God has us now. Not tomorrow's going to be better. I'm going to get 6.5 hours of sleep. Maybe seven. If I get 7, look out. Kingdom's growing tomorrow. I'm going to be on fire for the Lord. 8, you don't want to know me. All right? You can't handle me in my neighborhood. But what about now? What about right now? What about right here today? What about how you woke up, how you drove over here, the conversations you had, getting your kids, if you had to, in and out of service, in and back and forth from childcare back there. What about now? Forget tomorrow. We're not promised that anyway. What about now? Are you content to fully understand that my life is in God's hands completely and fully, so we can do all things through Him who strengthened me, as what verse 13 tells us. Paul can do all this through Christ who strengthens him no matter what he faces. And he will remain strong in Christ. See, that's what we want. And this is how it happens. We dive into God's Word each day. I've got some questions. All right, reach out to another brother or sister in Christ. Have that conversation with them. Brother or sister, pick up the phone. Answer the text. You don't know what's on the other end. You know what? We're here for others, right? Not I. As we've been saved, as we've become Christians, we don't live for me anymore. We live for them. We live for those that need help. We live for those who are lost. We live for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can do that well because I know I have contentment knowing fully and wholly that God has me. Living fully and wholly, knowing that one day that I will be reunited with my Father in heaven. Knowing one day that I'll be reunited with my brother or sister in Christ in a perfect heaven. Knowing one day, not which day, but knowing one day that will happen. But right now, what we need here until that glorious day is Christ to sustain you and I now, here, today, in a few hours, in a few moments, when you pick your kids back up, when you go to the lunch crowds, when you go to the in-laws' house, the laughter's starting to... Can you be content no matter what in every situation? Yes, here. Here alone. Wrestle with that. Wonder in amazement about that. Try to know the fullness as Paul knew it. See, Christ is the perfect companion to have. Let me tell you, I didn't grow up as a Christian, and I looked to a lot of people, and I thought, that's the person that'll sustain me. That's the one that'll give me hope. And as I became a Christian, trying to understand that, and these beautiful, awesome men of God were pouring into me saying, no, not me, but him. And I started going, what in the world? And as I've gone through my life maturing, and it's a daily process, I'm not there yet. But knowing that he's my perfect companion, I'm all in. And I'm content with what he's given me today. No matter what the situation, no matter that the rest of my family is having fun at the ranch, with my in-laws for my daughter's birthday. You know what? I'm content because I get to open God's word and I get to talk and speak and be with you guys. And we get to grow and we get to understand God's gospel more. And then we get to leave here and then go and tell. It doesn't get any more beautiful than that. And I'm content with all that beauty and everything that he's given me here today. My God will supply every need of ours according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's what it says in verse 19 when you continue on in chapter 4 of Philippians. This is what Paul is talking about when he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the secret to Paul's contentment, and it can be yours and mine as well. Jesus explains to us that he's the one that gives us strength, structure, and everything that we need. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't know about you, but I want to bear much fruit. I want to know that I can do that because of Christ. Listen, I know I've done stuff on my own, and you know how chaotic and crazy that gets? My staff knows sometimes when I come in to talk to them, I've got 3 sentences running, and they're going, can you go back to number 1? Because you said, hey, let's tomorrow. Man, at lunch we have to. Sir. Stop laughing, Christy. But you know what? I get fired up. The gospel, God's power, my best companion, he lives with me daily. I know no matter what's coming, no matter how messed up things get, God will provide, he will give, and he will sustain. He's the vine. We're the branches. You see, our attitude and our demeanor, it can show the grace of God in our lives when we're content in every situation that we live through. Show the power of Christ. You know, if you've ever been to the hospital with a loved one or been there, as a pastor, I've been there with different individuals going and struggling through different things. And I've seen chaos, and I've seen destruction, and I've seen screaming and crying and just complete lostness and destruction. And when my brother-in-law lost his wife 2 years ago, just suddenly healthy, we don't know why, but you talk about the contentment and the power of God working together in a family. As we stood there and sat there in prayerful concern, taking care of, reminiscing of the beautiful life that she provided for our family. Listen, there was no lostness and chaotic craziness going on because we could stand in contentment and understand that God's in control. God's going to sustain us through this. God's going to pour into this family like we have never seen yet now. God's not done. Folks, we can find contentment in the sheer destruction of life only in Him, only in this gospel. But then remembering in those beautiful, awesome, fun child being born, birthday celebrations, anniversaries, the remembrance of the day you were saved, remembering Him also and praising His name, saying, "Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, God, that I'm not another lost soul. Thank you, God, that one day I'll be reunited with my brothers and sisters in perfection with you." It may be difficult sometimes, and sometimes in those difficult moments, maybe we understand God a little more. Maybe we understand the triumphant power of Him, and maybe if we stop and look for Him, that moment won't be so painful. He's the vine. We're the branches. Sustain yourself in Him. Understand that it's God's victory. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Read the whole Bible. Understand what Paul was going through. Know it. Place it deep in your heart. Believe it with all your soul and know that Christ brings you contentment because in Him, you have it all. In Him, you have everything that you'll ever need. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you that Lord, we can be content with whatever we have, wherever we are, whatever we're in need of. Lord, may we be content when we're in the hungriest of times. May we be content when we have fullness, when we have everything we've ever needed. May we be content when we're healthy and strong. May we be content in the darkest and illness of days. Furthermore, God, may we understand that Your Bible, your living, breathing document is our lifeline. It's our support. It's our way to find contentment when contentment can't be found. It's the place that gives grace when grace can't be found. It's the place where love can be found when love is nowhere to be seen. It's a place to find unity when we don't understand how to unify. It's a place that brings us together and helps us understand how to live this life to our fullest and in contentment, and no matter what we have, for you, because of you and your power alone. Lord, bury your word in our heart, into our souls. May everything that we say and do reflect your beauty. May we become more like you and less like this world. It's in your name that I give thanks and praise. Amen.